From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message called Crossing the Jordan, a Picture of Baptism into Christ's Death, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 29 and verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. God's glory is the result of His nature and acts. He is glorious in His character, for there is such a store of everything that is holy and good and lovely in God that He must be glorious. The actions which flow from His character are also glorious. But while He intends that they should manifest to His creatures His goodness and mercy and justice, He is equally concerned that the glory associated with them should be given only to Himself. Nor is there aught in ourselves in which we may glory. For who maketh us to differ from one another? And what have we that we had not received from the God of all grace? Then how careful ought we to be to walk humbly before the Lord. The moment we glorify ourselves, since there is room for one glory only in the universe, we set ourselves up as rivals to the Most High. Shall the insect of an hour glorify itself against the sun which warmed it into life? Shall the potsherd exalt itself above the man who fashioned it upon the wheel? Shall the dust of the desert strive with the whirlwind? Or the drops of the ocean struggle with the tempest? Give unto the Lord, all ye righteous. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto Him the honor that is due unto His name. Yet it is perhaps one of the hardest struggles of the Christian life to learn this sentence. Not unto us, but unto Thy name be glory. It is a lesson which God is ever teaching us, and teaching us sometimes by most painful discipline. Let a Christian begin to boast, I can do all things, without adding, through Christ which strengtheneth me. Before long he will have to groan, I can do nothing, and bemoan himself in the dust. When we do anything for the Lord, and He is pleased to accept of our doings, let us lay our crown at His feet and exclaim, Not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
From glory to glory Thou leadest me on. I never could praise Thee enough. Thou bearest my burdens and givest a song, and smoothest my path when so rough. Oh, Thou art the song of my soul, the fairest of fair ones to me. O Savior divine and ruler of all, my heart finds its comfort. Its comfort in Thee. My
crosses are turned into glorious crowns, my sighs into radiant smiles. Like rivers of mercy, thy peace comes and drowns the agonies wrought by the trials. Oh, thou art the song of my soul, the fairest of fair ones to me. O Savior divine and ruler of all, my heart finds its comfort in finds its comfort in thee. I'll tell of thy goodness and sing of thy love these days as a pilgrim below. And when I in rapture behold thee above, forever thy name extol. Oh, thou art the song of my soul, the fairest of fair ones to me, O Savior divine and ruler of all, my heart finds its comfort in
My heart finds its comfort. In thee.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. text for this message is found in Joshua chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, which relate the dividing of the waters of the Jordan, allowing the children of Israel to pass through on dry ground. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will pay particular attention to the Scripture's emphasis upon the Ark of God in the midst of the river as the people passed over. The burden of the message will be to show exactly what the Bible means by being baptized into Christ's death. The first thing we note is that the people's deliverance depended solely upon the Ark being carried into the waters, a symbol of deliverance from the wrath of God through the atoning death of Christ. Now to commence this message, Crossing the Jordan, a picture of baptism into Christ's death. Here is Dr. Cairns.
We turn this morning to the third chapter of Joshua once again, and we're reading at the very end of the chapter, verse 15 through 17. As they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to these familiar verses, at least familiar by now since we have been reading them for a couple of weeks. The children of Israel entered the promised land through the river bed of Jordan. They crossed Jordan. We saw last week that Jordan in Scripture symbolizes death. So the great truth of the text we've been reading this morning is that the entrance of the people of God into the promised land is through death. Not only do we go to heaven through death, but we enter into the experience of eternal life through death. Now that thought, entering eternal life through death, raises another great truth, which is also beautifully pictured for us here in Joshua chapter 3. The children of Israel passed dry-shod over the Jordan into Canaan, while the priests of the Lord, bearing the Ark of the Covenant, stood in the river, and God made a way for them to pass through. The spiritual force of that is very plain, that Christ, who is our priest and our Ark, Christ died and so procured for us a passage over Jordan into eternal life. Now all that is clear and simple. But there is another very deep New Testament truth or doctrine that our text goes on to picture. And I think picture in a simple way that we can all grasp. I want you to follow me very carefully here. It was as the ark stood in the Jordan that the people of God passed through Jordan into Canaan. Now get that picture clearly in mind. It was as the ark stood in the Jordan that the people of God passed through Jordan, dry shod, and into Canaan. So it was when Christ stood in death, when he died, that the people of God entered into death and died in Christ and with Christ and so passed into life eternal through him. In New Testament terms, we could state the doctrine like this: as the children of Israel walked through the Jordan while the ark stood in it, so we enter into life through union with Christ in his death. That is the very deep and mysterious, but very blessed and glorious doctrine that we will find symbolized and pictured here for us. We enter into life through union with Christ in his death. The New Testament puts it this way, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul teaches the same great truth in the book of Galatians, in the 3rd chapter, verse 27. He says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And then in that very famous statement of chapter 2, verse 20 in Galatians, he says, "I am," or more literally, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now this is a crucial doctrine. It is an essential part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, as it is preached by many people nowadays, is come to Jesus, and he will do this and that good thing for you. And more, the definition of the good that Jesus will do for you is couched in terms of the temporal, the immediate, the physical, and even the financial and material. Come to Jesus, and he will do these good things for you. Now, it is undoubtedly true that when a soul comes to the Lord Jesus, he does many good things for him. But the great truth of the gospel is, come to Jesus, and you will, by faith in him, enter into union with Christ. A union that will never, never be broken. But what does it mean to be united to Christ? That's a question upon which there has been much discussion and debate, and about which there still is much confusion. The New Testament texts I have just read from Romans and Galatians are texts that have been misunderstood in a variety of ways. That tells you that though the wording is very familiar, baptized into the death of Christ, baptized into Christ, one with Christ, though these terms are very familiar, very few people, including the preachers who preach upon them, appear to have much of a clue as to exactly what the apostle intends us to understand. Now, I have taken the rather unusual course of trying to deal with a very profound New Testament theological theme by means of a very, very simple Old Testament event. And I think that the procedure is justified because the text that we have read this morning, Joshua 3, 15 through 17, provides us with a picture that will help us to grasp the truth of the text we have been reading in the New Testament already. I want you to think of this very simply. Baptism into Christ's death, as illustrated by Israel's passage of the Jordan and going into Canaan. Baptism into Christ's death is illustrated by this passage of the Jordan by the children of Israel. Now I want to establish what it means to be baptized into Christ's death. That's what I want to establish. And I want to use our text to help us understand the meaning of this tremendous theme. Now, first of all, as we look at Joshua 3, we will discover that baptism into Christ's death means to depend solely upon the merits of that death. What held back the waters of Jordan? What was it that held them back? The answer, of course, is the sovereign power and grace of God. But let's be much more particular. What was it that caused God, by His sovereign grace and power, to hold the waters of Jordan back at that particular time and place? And the answer is that the ark of God was carried into the waters of Jordan. And it was as the ark was carried in that God stopped the waters. Did the children of Israel make any personal effort to stop the flow of Jordan? Did they use their skills in engineering? Did they show their intrepid courage in any way to stop this mighty flowing torrent as it was at that time? No, they did nothing. But when the ark of God went in, it stopped the flow of the water. And the children of Israel, depending on the power of the ark of God to keep the waters from crashing down upon them, trusting to that alone, they stepped into the bed of the River Jordan. And they walked across it into Canaan. They went safely through Jordan into Canaan solely on the strength of the ark of God and what it accomplished. Now there's the very first idea in baptism into the death of Jesus Christ. Baptism into Christ is first and foremost a deliverance from the wrath of God through the virtue of the atoning death of Christ. That atoning death is a safe abode for the trusting soul, under which he has the protection of a divine hand, because in that atonement he has the satisfaction of divine wrath. In Galatians 3 verse 13, the apostle puts it this way: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So how much curse of the law is left for the believer in Christ? None. How much wrath of God is left for the believer in Christ? The apostle answers that categorically. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And as with the children of Israel, so with us. There is nothing of our effort that has gone in to stemming the flood of divine wrath. There is nothing of our effort that has contributed to deliverance from the wrath and curse of a sin-hating God. The Apostle Paul testified in Titus 3, verses 5 to 7, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Notice how these thoughts are conjoined. No work of ours. Just sovereign mercy that gives us a regeneration and a renewing. And it's all shed upon us through Jesus Christ, our only Lord and Savior. The result of which is we are justified by grace and made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.